Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament reading today, we from Isaiah 52, we read these words. Break forth together into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people. Break forth into singing. We Lutherans love to sing, especially we love to sing Christmas carols. And many times from this vantage point, I can hear the four-part harmony. You may remember going out caroling in your youth. Those Christmas carols have been around for hundreds of years, centuries even. The hymn called "Of the Father's Love Begotten" was written way back in 400 A.D. A Great and Mighty Wonder was written in the 7th century A.D. In the 1600s, Oliver Cromwell tried to outlaw Christmas. He was a Puritan, and Puritans believed that having fun was bad, and he was just convinced that at Christmas, somebody somewhere was going to have some fun and be joyful, and that just wasn't part of what he thought people should do. During that same time period, there was a carol that we still sing today was written. It's called The 12 Days of Christmas. Now, when I was younger, I remember hearing that thinking, well, how is that a Christmas carol? Well, here's how it came to be. The Catholics in England in that time, in the 1600s, were forbidden from teaching their faith. And so they wrote this song as a way of teaching their children with a sort of hidden message. The partridge in a pear tree, that's Jesus Christ. The two turtle doves, that's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The three French hens stood for faith and hope and love. And the four calling birds were the four Gospels that we read in the New Testament. The five golden rings are the five books of the Torah. And the six geese a-laying stood for the 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming represented the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the eight maids a-milking were the eight beatitudes. The nine ladies dancing were the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the 10 lords a-leaping were, of course, the Ten Commandments. And the 11 pipers piping stood for the 11 faithful disciples. And the 12 drummers drumming symbolized the 12 points of the apostles' creed and belief. Christmas carols are defined as a song of joy, especially a song that we sing at Christmas. Today is Christmas Day, and hopefully you are all filled with joy today. At least we're supposed to be. Perhaps you're joyful because the holiday season that started before Halloween is now over. Perhaps you're joyful because you received that perfect, perfect Christmas gift. Perhaps you're joyful because your family is home and it's great to have family at Christmas time. But the important reason that we are here today, the important reason that we are joyful today, is because of the birth of Jesus who came that Christmas light night 2,000 years ago. Today we celebrate his birth. We celebrate that coming of that long-awaited Messiah. One of the Christmas carols that help us to sing that joy is called Joy to the World. It was written in 1700 by a guy by the name of Isaac Watts. And the words are based on Psalm 98. And I thought it might be interesting to go through that hymn a little bit and look at it in a little bit more detail. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Note that the word "is come" is used, and not "has come," not "had come," not "will come." The Lord is come. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. We remember the words from yesterday where we heard John in his first chapter, in the first few words of that first book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we substitute the word Jesus for the Word, which is what John intended, then we hear, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And at the burning bush, when Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses asked him, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God says, "Tell them I am sent you." God always is present. He is present with us today. And then we hear the words, "Let earth receive her king." The promised Messiah is that gift that we hear. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords finally comes to us at Christmas. And then we hear, "Let every heart prepare him room." For the past month or so, we have been preparing during the season of Advent. It's a time of penitence, a time of preparation, and we have been preparing our hearts for him coming. And because of that preparation, because God is now with us, heaven and nature sing. In the reading for last night, we heard, "And there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to those with whom he is pleased.'" All of heaven was singing. And not only just heaven was singing, but so was all of nature. The writers of the Psalms like to use something called personification. They applied human values, human actions to nature itself. And so in Psalm 98, we read the words, "Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy." There is so much joy that we have today that even the hills and the rivers are singing together in that same harmony, just like us Lutherans. Verse 2 begins, "Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns." One of the characteristics of Jewish writing is the use of something called couplets, two statements that both say the same thing. And so verse 2 is a couplet of sorts of verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Joy to the world." Verse 2 says, "Joy to the earth." And why is there that joy that we talk of today? Because Jesus is here with us. And now the Savior reigns. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has begun his time with us here on earth. Continuing in Psalm 98, we read, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, and with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King." Notice it doesn't say piano and organ. It doesn't say we can't use guitars. This song implies that our music should be employed to break forth into joyous singing. And then we hear these words, "Repeat the sounding joy." Perhaps that word "sounding" might be identified a little bit better today. In the sense used in this song, it means a sounding means announcing or broadcasting or proclaiming. And so we might sing it in other ways like this: repeat the announcing joy, or repeat the broadcasting joy, or repeat the proclaiming joy. And then verse 3 begins, "No more let sorrows and sins grow." Now that Jesus has come, sin has been defeated. Now we have that hope of eternal life. In John 16, we read these words of Jesus, In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then we read another verse or another phrase that says, nor thorns infest the ground. After the fall, God cursed the ground of all of the earth. He said to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the earth. We are joyful today because the time is coming when sin and sorrow will no longer grow, and thorns will no longer infest the ground. Rather, the song goes on, he comes to make his blessings flow far as that curse is found. Jesus is coming, Jesus will come to bring blessings as far as the curse is found. That is, to all of the earth. And then we hear a final verse, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nation prove the glories of his righteousness. In Psalm 98, we read these words, for Jesus will come to judge the earth with righteousness and peoples with equity. Jesus is come, the world has received her King. Jesus is come so that sin and sorrow and thistles are no more. Jesus is come to bring his blessings to all of the earth. Jesus is come to judge with righteousness. And Jesus has come, and we see the wonders of his love. Joy to the world indeed. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our next hymn.